this Sunday, I'm going to preach in College Grove, Saturday and Sunday, actually. And Aaron's going to preach here in the morning, and Donnie Bell will be here Sunday night. I've entitled this message, Rewards. Rewards. You can see where I got that title. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Now, this man is giving a cup of cold water for Christ's sake, because you belong to Christ. And the Lord says, with regard to this man, he's not going to lose his reward. Now, what does that mean? Now, notice it says, whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name. Now, everything we do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? If I pray, I pray, Lord, hear this prayer for his name's sake. I have no other reason as to why this prayer would be heard, only that Christ would present it to you. Acting in his name is a repudiation of all personal merit. I'm coming only in the name of Christ. I love the scripture. I quote it so often. Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, everything the Lord does for us is his response to his Son. That's who we're resting in. That's what we're resting in. Everything God has for the sinner, he gives for Christ's sake. And notice again in this verse of scripture, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ. That's the motive. Because you belong to Christ. Motive is everything. Let me read a couple of scriptures. Would you turn to Luke chapter 14? Verse 12. Then said he also to them that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy brethren, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made to thee. If I scratch your back, you'll scratch mine. That's the motive. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. One other scripture, turn to Colossians 3. Verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, doesn't matter what it is, whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Now, this reward is an inheritance. It's because of your connection with somebody else, the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll receive the reward of inheritance. Now, what is the reward of every believer? I said that wrong. Who is the reward of every believer? The Lord said to Abraham, I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. Now, what could you add to that? What could you do that would make that better? Christ himself is my reward. I am my beloved's, and he is mine. Now, quite often, and quite erroneously, when religious people speak of rewards, they speak of different rewards that'll be handed out on Judgment Day according to your own personal obedience here on earth. As a matter of fact, I actually had a preacher of a Reformed Baptist church tell me my enjoyment of heaven will be in direct accordance to my personal obedience here on earth. That is how I will enjoy heaven. Abraham and Lot. Abraham and Lot. Big difference between those two men as far as what we could see, isn't there? Abraham, the father of the faithful. Lot, a seemingly worldly man. There wasn't very much about Lot, if you would look at his life, that you would be encouraged about. There are believers that are a discouragement. There are believers that are an encouragement. That's just so. You know that. Now, does that mean that Abraham is going to get a higher reward in heaven than Lot? You know, our flesh thinks, yeah! Yeah! But that is contrary to the Scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. A very familiar passage where this is dealt with. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers in his vineyard. And when he'd agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them out into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. I guess they were too lazy to get up to 6 o'clock. And they didn't show up till 9 o'clock. And here they are standing idle, seeing what might be in it for them. Maybe they were even hoping nobody would hire them, but they felt a responsibility to be out there. So there they are at 9. And he said, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right. Don't miss that. Whatsoever is right, I'll give you. And they went their way, and he went about the 6th hour, noon. Where had these fellows been? I guess they'd been in bed and didn't get up to 11 o'clock and got there at 12. 3, what have these guys been doing all day? But he hired them. There they were. And then about the 11th hour, verse 6, he went out and found others standing idle, and he saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And they said, because no man has hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right. Same thing he said to the 11-hour workers. Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his stewards, call the laborers, give them their hire. Now that hire is the same word that's translated reward in our text. Hire. Give the laborers their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. It's what he said was right. Verse 10, but when the first came, they supposed that they would have received more. Wouldn't you make that supposition with regard to yourself? I would. He worked an hour. I worked 12 hours. What was he doing all day? How come he didn't get here till 5 o'clock at night? 5 o'clock in the evening. And here I am, been at it ever since 6 in the morning. They supposed they would receive more. And they likewise received every man a penny. They got the exact same thing. And it was right. God always gives what is right. And when they'd received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these that have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. We see what they thought about their master's service. It was a burden. They didn't enjoy it. People who are working for a living like this with the Lord never do. They're doing what they think they have to do. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way, and I'll give unto this last even as unto thee, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is thine eye evil because I'm good? So the last should be first and the first last, for many called, but few are chosen. We have a very similar story in 1 Samuel chapter 30, where Ziklag is raided. David goes off with 600 men to get his wife back and their goods back. The Amalekites had taken everything. And so they go after them, and when they're after them, 200 of the men were too faint. They couldn't even ford the creek. They were just tired. They said, we're going to have to stand back. So the other 400 went after them, and they recovered everything. They recovered all their wives, all their children, all their spoils, and they got the riches of the Amalekites too. They came back very wealthy. And they come back, and the scripture says, all the sons of Belial. You know who they are? All the sons of the wicked one. These people were bad people. They said what would come natural. We get all the spoils, they get none. Because they didn't do anything. We did everything. Maybe they didn't take care of themselves, and here they were in such bad shape they couldn't get across the creek. We could, and we deserve the spoils. David said, nope. Everybody gets the exact same thing. And this was a memorial in Israel forever. Forever. Read it when you get a chance this week. 1 Samuel chapter 30. So the Bible is very clear upon this subject of handing out rewards based on, I mean, how many different rewards are there? There must be millions. I mean, this person gave 10%, this person gave 50% of his effort, another person gave 99%. You got all these different rewards to hand out. Now, you know, that's ridiculous, is about all I can say about that. That's ridiculous. Somebody believe in something like that? Do you actually think you deserve a reward? Do you think that? You know, I hope you get one if you do. Do you deserve one, though? Absolutely not. Yeah, I know I don't deserve any reward. You know, when we've done all we can, we're supposed to say, I'm an unprofitable servant. You know what that word unprofitable means? Worthless. Worthless. That is every believer's view of themselves. They don't believe they have a reward coming, some kind of reward for their particular obedience. And as far as that goes, so do you want to be exalted above your brother in Christ? You want to be up here and he's down there, and you can look at him and say, huh, if you had been as obedient as me, you'd have this reward I had, but you weren't. Why? That's contrary to love. And let me tell you what it's really contrary to. It's contrary to the reward. I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. And are you going to add the foul ditch water of something you've done and add that to him and think, I'm going to get better out of this? Well, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. So I realize that men abuse, well, what it is, it's works in grace clothing. Somebody says, well, I don't believe you can earn justification. That's by grace, but your position in glory will be determined by your life here on earth. That's works in grace clothing. Nothing else. Now, that being said, the Bible has a whole lot to say about rewards. In the Lord's first sermon, Sermon on the Mount, turn with me there. Verse 12. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Chapter 6. Take heed that do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 4, thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in himself shall reward thee openly. Look at the last phrase of verse 5, speaking of the hypocrites who prayed to be seen of men. They have their reward. But that person who truly prays in secret, thy Father which seeth in secret, last phrase, shall reward thee openly. There's so much references throughout this chapter to rewards. Look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Now we have a reward mentioned three times in that passage of Scripture. Now, I realize that your average religious person says, see, there's three different rewards. I mean, you got a gold reward for the prophet, you got a silver reward for the righteous man, and then the bronze reward goes to the person who just gives the cup of cold water. You know, it's just, there's one reward. Never forget that. There's only one reward. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the prophet's reward. He's the righteous man's reward. And he is the reward of that person who gave a cold cup of water. Now, this word reward is also translated wages and hire. It's you being paid for what you personally have done. The wages of sin is death. Same word. The wages of sin is death. God will pay his debts, and the wages of sin is death. When the Lord of the vineyard came to 12-hour workers, and the one-hour worker, he said, call them and give them their hire, give them their reward, give them their wages. And what about that one-hour worker? He said, he's going to receive what is right. The reward of God is always that which is right. Matthew 16:27 says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with all his holy angels, and he shall reward every man according to his works. Is that what he said? You will get exactly according to your works. God will pay you what you have coming. No partiality, no favoritism. Everybody will be rewarded according to their works. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You and I will be rewarded according to our works. You're familiar with that passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, if I'm rewarded by God, I'm not rewarded and treated as if I never sinned, although I really did. I'm rewarded because I never sinned. I'm given exactly what I deserve. Now listen to this scripture, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. As he is. Did he ever sin? No. No. He never sinned. He kept God's law perfectly. He never had a sinful thought. He never had a sinful motive. He never had a sinful desire. He loved God with all his heart and soul and strength and mind and might. And he loved his neighbor as himself. As he is. Not so will we be, but as He is, so we are. Present tense in this world. You see, God has made a way to be just and to justify the ungodly. It's called the gospel. The gospel makes it what my Lord did on Calvary's tree. He made it to where I've never sinned. That's what justification is. I have never sinned. You see, Christ bore my sin. Christ put it away. He made it to be gone. And I receive the things done in my body. And they're all good. That is the work of Christ in behalf of His people. Now, I was talking about Abraham and Lot. If you didn't have the New Testament account of Lot, you know what you'd think? You'd think he wasn't saved. That's what you'd think. You'd think this guy couldn't have been saved. You'd read his account. You'd read his decisions. And he made some terrible decisions. He did some terrible things. And you would say, this guy couldn't be saved. At the level of his disobedience, even lingering in Sodom, not wanting to leave and having to be pulled and yanked out, his drunkenness with his daughters, the incest, he was a mess. He was a mess. What does God the Holy Spirit testify concerning this man? Just Lot. Now that just means not just one or just, no, that's justified. Right, just Lot. That righteous man. His righteous soul. That is God's testimony of every believer. When you're brought into heaven, God's going to say to you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Everything you've ever done has been pleasing to me. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. Every believer is righteous. Now, understand this about the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is not a whitewash covering. You know what whitewashing is? Is when the dirt's still there and you just put the paint over it and can't see it. But it's still there. It's still there. Can't be denied. It's still there. You might not be able to see it, but it's still there. But the blood of Christ makes it to where there's no sin there. Now, turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If salvation is by works, that means your reward is God's payment to you for your good deeds. But what about this reckoning of grace? This accounting of grace. Now we're there in Romans chapter 4. Let me tell you what this looks like. Verse 6. Now remember, this is a quotation from Psalm 32, 1 and 2. And David wrote this psalm down after the event with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah. This is when he wrote this down. Paul says in verse 6, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Now that's the reckoning of grace. And here's what it is saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, your sin is most real. My sin is most real. Well, I thought you said it wasn't. No, I'm not saying I wasn't. I heard a preacher say recently, you ought not ever feel guilty about your sin. I don't get it. I mean, David felt guilty when he wrote Psalm 51, didn't he? I mean, he felt remorse over his sin and so on. And yeah, you ought to feel remorse over your sin. I ought to feel remorse over my sin. But the point is, all the things that I'm guilty of, they're all true, they're all real. God didn't charge me with them. He charged them to his Son. They became his. Now that's the reckoning of grace. My sin became his sin. He took my place. His righteousness becomes mine. Every believer knows the reward is the reward of pure, free grace. You know, if you're enabled to be, by his grace, more of an encouraging believer than another is, do you pat yourself on the back? No, you're more of a greater debtor to grace than he is. Our song is always, oh, we just sang it, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works. Aren't you thankful it's that way? Not of works. Lest any man should boast, not of works. As it's written, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob have I loved. What grace. Jacob have I loved. That's a gracious love. It's a reckoning according to grace. And there is no reward apart from faith. Speaking of the word of God, David said in Psalm 19:11, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. I'd like you to turn with this scripture. This is not something we turn to very often, but turn to Proverbs 24, verse 14. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be into thy soul. What is the knowledge of wisdom? The gospel. The gospel of Christ. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be into thy soul, and when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Now, faith is expectation, isn't it? It's a confident expectation. I've got an expectation that on judgment day, I'm going to be perfectly received and stand before God without guilt, and I have an expectation that everything that happens between now and then is working together for my good and his glory. All of it. All of it. And what a reward that is. Just to know that. The expectation of faith. The gratification of faith. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Well, what's our confidence? That everything God requires of me, he looks to Christ for. That's my confidence. You take that away, I don't have any confidence. But that's my confidence. Isn't there great reward of peace and joy in believing that? Knowing that all God requires of you, he looks to his Son for. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We read about rewards here. Verse 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asks of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have ye? And that's the word grace. Where's the grace in that? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, well, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward, there we have that word, your reward shall be great. And you shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not. You know what the reward for that is? You shall not be judged. That's a good reward, isn't it? Condemn not. What's the reward for that? You shall not be condemned. Forgive. What's the reward for that? You shall be forgiven. Give. What's the reward for that? It shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Now, it's better to forgive than not to forgive. The reward's in forgiving. It's better. It's better to give than to not give. You can't outgive God. These are the actions of the new nature that God has put in you. If you do any of these things, it's Christ in you. Don't you know that's so? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he gives you the grace to do this and reward you for doing it with the joy of doing it. What a blessed reward this is in following Christ. Somebody says, well, what about gaining and losing rewards? The Bible says something about that. Okay, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he'll receive a reward. There's the word. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, in the context, Paul is talking about preachers. He said, here's the foundation, Jesus Christ. Now, you can use gold, silver, and precious stones, the gospel, wood, hay, and stubble, anything that's not the gospel. I've seen preachers who I think, I wouldn't say they don't know the Lord, but the foundation they're building is built upon church growth and all that kind of stuff, and the gospel gets lost. And he says that person who's built on gold, precious stones, their work will abide. The one who has wood, hay, and stubble, they're going to suffer loss. Do you know what that means? They're going to see, and it's a day, it's not in heaven. It's not on judgment day. They're going to see right now that everything they did, not one person was saved from it. Not one person had the gospel revealed. Now that's, I don't know how else to interpret that, but he talks about being rewarded. And what is the reward? seeing folks who believe the gospel. What is the not reward? Seeing that not one person believed who you, when you, quote, built your ministry. It's an offensive thing, and that's what he seems to be saying. Look in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. I had somebody write me about this recently. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. Now, what he means by that is, if I don't preach the gospel, I'll be damned. That's exactly what he means. Woe unto me, if I preach not the gospel. That scares me to death. I don't want to be somebody who does not preach the gospel. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. There's the word. If I preach the gospel willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me, I have to preach it anyway. Even if I have a wrong, rotten attitude, I'm still made to do this. Now look at verse 18. What is my reward then? What is my reward? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. That's the reward. The reward for obedience is obedience. And he gives you the grace to obey. If you obey, he's giving you the grace to obey. And the reward is, I didn't abuse my charge. I didn't abuse my power in the gospel. That is the reward. Now, this thing of reward, there is verily a reward for the righteous, isn't there? The reward is Christ himself. What a blessed thing. Christ himself. And it's the reward of perfect righteousness. Because of what Christ has done for me, I deserve this reward. It's the reward of grace. It's a reward that comes through faith. And it is better. No way, everybody knows this. There's reward in forgiving, isn't there? You feel better. You feel better. It's a blessing. There's a reward in being merciful. There's a reward in being generous. This is not talking about trying to earn certain brownie points and favors. That's not it at all. If somebody wants to say, that's legalism. Well, no, it's not. No, it's not. There's verily a reward for the righteous. And I want to be faithful in preaching the gospel. I don't want to build on wood, hay, and stubble. And that's scary, isn't it? The Lord talks about those who build on wood, hay, and stubble. It says all their works are going to be burned, and he says they'll be saved. Now, he said that. I would look at those people and say, well, they're probably not saved. But Paul said, they'll be saved. They believe the gospel. But so as by fire, they're going to see all their works burned up. And I don't want to see that. I want the people I preach to be people that the Lord has saved and not people that were, quote, built under my perceived ministry, which was nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. May the Lord enable us to seek his reward, not the way religion does. But I'm so thankful that I know that the reward I have, I deserve it. And it's because of Jesus Christ the Lord. Let's pray.